All right, we are on the air, folks, and let me go ahead and start TalkShoe. And there is the Muzak. All right, folks, sorry, we're still having problems getting TalkShoe and Skype to work together. I have come up with a temporary solution until we can get this fixed. Apparently what's going on is TalkShoe has been bought out by Conference.com, and I tried to upload Conference.com today, but I could not hear anything. So that's going to have to be a work in progress. In the meantime, we're going to be doing this temporary solution. And today we're going to talk about the book of Galatians, part one, with my guest host, Pastor Steve. Are you there, Pastor Steve?
Shalom aleichem.
All right, very good. I believe I sent you an article about the, let's see here. I think I have to go back and find the exact article. How many, Galatians were Gauls. This is hopeofisrael.org. And just to introduce our subject for today, let me just quickly check. Yes, we're definitely on the air at Eurofolk Radio. And I just want to tell people first that the Galatians were in fact Israelites, and we'll find that there's internal evidence in the book of Galatians for this as a fact. So from this article, in fact, let me copy and paste this into the TalkShoe chat room. And I know, Pastor Steve, I don't think you have access to it, but the people in the chat room will like to see this. And there, I just put it in the chat room. And I see Maggie Z and W. Ron have just joined us. Of course, we've had all kinds of problems getting the show started, but people should be trickling in very shortly. And so I lost my search function here when I changed pages, so let me get right back to where it was. Give me one second, folks.
I don't see how you do it week to week. Yeah. I go crazy.
Yeah, all right, I found it here. Now, in this article, hopeofisrael.org, about halfway down, Pastor Steve, if you got this article up, the people in the first chapter of 1 Peter, the apostle opens with greetings to the sojourners of the dispersion. Now, Pastor Steve, who are the dispersed? Can they be any other than Israelites?
No. All the way through the New Testament, the entire book, Old and New, is an Israel book.
Amen.
When Shaul, or Saul, or was talking to the Galatians, or the Romans, or the Corinthians, or the Colossians, or the Ephesians, he was talking to dispersed Israelites.
Uh-huh.
Because Yeshua, Messiah, told him, don't go to these other people, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yes.
And with the mistranslation, they've inserted the word Gentile, which is a Latin word.
Yes.
And he was right. Supposed to be the apostle to the Gentiles.
Yeah, which is a false idea.
Well, ethnos or ethne in the Greek, and goy or goyim in the Hebrew.
Okay, hold on right there.
And they are synonymous. They are nations or nations. And he was talking about the Israel nations, because Yeshua said plainly, and this is going to get the universalist all upset, I come not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Doesn't that mean the Africans and the Hottentots and the Tutsis and all those? But hey, let me make a quick announcement. Hold on, Pastor Steve. Hold on. Let me make a quick announcement here, because people aren't, oh, Okay, there's a guest five is saying Bruce McCarthy died this past Monday, May 2nd. Sorry to hear that. Bruce McCarthy was a great Israelite. Let me just quickly announce the people who are not hearing us and talk shoe. We're going to have to, you're going to have to go to Your Folk Radio to hear the entire conversation between myself and Pastor Steve. But we'll be using the chat box here at TalkShoe. This is a stopgap measure until we get this thing fixed. So those of you who are not hearing Pastor Steve, I know you're hearing me on TalkShoe, but Pastor Steve is on Skype and on Eurofolk Radio only. So if you want to hear us both, turn on Eurofolk Radio and turn the sound down on TalkShoe. All right, that's the best thing that you can do. Okay, well, guest five is saying TalkShoe is coming through just fine. Yes, but they're not hearing you, Pastor Steve. But let me just continue here with Bruce McCarthy. Bruce McCarthy was a great legal scholar, a great Bible interpreter. I'm not sure if he was a two-seedliner or not. I don't think he was. But he was a great Israelite, believed in Yahweh's laws, believed in the U.S. Constitution, common law, and was active in the courts and won many battles against Zog in the courts. So praise Yahweh for Bruce McCarthy. May he rest in peace, and I'm sure we will see him in the kingdom. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that we will see him in the kingdom, and he will probably be a first priority judge in the kingdom with the wisdom of Solomon, I dare say, Bruce McCarthy had and has, because he is only absent from the body. He is still present with in the spirit. So sorry to hear about that, but we will meet Mr. McCarthy in the kingdom. There's no doubt in my mind. All right, so we were talking about the let's hold off on the discussion of the word Gentile a little later until we actually get into the book of Galatians. But so if anybody in the chat room, and if somebody pops up and says, I can't hear Pastor Steve, direct them to Eurofolk Radio so that they can hear us both. So let me continue here. And here it actually mentions the word Gentile. Let me start all over. In the first chapter of 1 Peter, the apostle opens up with greetings to the sojourners of the dispersion, or exiles of the dispersion, depending on which translation you have. The KJV uses the term strangers scattered, which is not a very good translation, is it, Pastor Steve?
Well, I'm using, tonight, I'm using the scriptures by the Scripture Research Institute.
Okay.
And it uses the actual names. And it is a holy name book.
Okay.
Kepha, an emissary of Yeshua, Messiah, to the chosen, strangers of the dispersion in Pontos, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, chosen according to the foreknowledge of Elohim the Father,
right,
set apart by the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua Messiah, favor and peace be increased to you. So he's talking to the chosen people of Israel,
right,
that are in dispersion in Pontos, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia,
amen,
and Bithynia.
Amen.
Always of Israel.
Amen.
None other.
Yes. Now, what passage were you reading from there?
That was the First Peter.
First Peter. Okay. Very good. Very good, because all of the epistles were written to Israelites and to no other people, and the word Gentile is a false. It is a false translation. The word Gentile should not.
They have put that in there to manipulate. They have been the enemy. The Edomite, Canaanite Jews have manipulated all the publications of the scriptures to match their agenda, basically because they owned the printing company and they had infiltrated the seminaries and actually become Christian preachers, but their heart is not with it. They are deceivers.
That's right.
Their father is the Nakash, who was a liar from the beginning. He deceived Hawa, which you call Eve.
Right.
And they continue to deceive today on the Talmud vision through shills like Alex Jones.
Right.
And some of the others that try to talk a good talk, but they salt information with disinformation. So you have to beware of traitors.
Amen.
And,
well, all of
the they have fostered the traitors.
All of the Judeo-Christian pastors on television, they're all traitors. Oh. All of them, every single one of them. But here, let me continue here, because Strangers Scattered is a very, very poor translation, because we know that the dispersion is a term that is specific to the Israelites. And when Jesus, you quoted it earlier, when he said, I come not on but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, that word lost is from the Greek apolumi, which means put away in punishment. And only the Israelites were put away in punishment. No other people were put away in punishment. Okay? That just shows you how...
we still are. We are still in dispersion.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But that shows you how a very good translation will maintain the covenant relationship between Yahweh and us. Whereas these half... I'm going to say it. Half-assed translations have so much gobbledygook and junk and outright deception in them that they have made mincemeat of the scriptures. So and even here the Hope of Israel states the KJV uses the term "strangers scattered," which may not be the best translation or understanding of what the original Greek is saying, because the word diaspora, Strong's 1290, has a specific meaning and translates Israelite resident in Gentile countries. Wow. I didn't know that. Israelite resident in Gentile countries. So, have you got your eSword open?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's Strong's Greek 1290, he says here. And I have never looked up diaspora, but... maybe you can tell us if that's what the eSword defines it as. Again, his definition is Israelite resident in Gentile countries. Now, of course, Gentile simply means nation. It doesn't mean non-Israelite. So it means, it should say Israelite resident in another country. That's what it really should say. An Israelite resident in another country. Okay, let me continue here. The Greek word translated strangers in the KJV is parapetimos, Strong's 3927, which means resident stranger or pilgrim or alien alongside. Peter is addressing exiled Israelite pilgrims that have taken up residence alongside the nations in another country. That's how this should read. That's what First Peter, and this author here doesn't understand the true meaning of the word Gentile, and the fact the word Gentile does not belong in the Bible. It should always simply be nation.
It was an insertion.
Yes, a KJV insertion, because they wanted to universalize the text, just as the Catholics wanted to universalize the text.
What, do you want me to look up 1290?
Yes, 1290.
Okay, I'll look that up here. And okay. I also have Brown Driver Briggs online and Thayer's.
Okay. All right.
So,
very good.
I have all of that downloaded.
Anyway, he says that's what 1 Peter 1:1 is saying. In other words, as you just quoted, he's addressing Israelites in these various countries. That's what he's doing. He's not addressing the non-Israelites of those countries. He's addressing the Israelites in those countries. Okay? Would you agree that's the correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's an Israel book throughout.
Yes.
That's all he's talking to. He's never addressing the non-Israelites. Like all the commandments in the Old Testament, they were never given to Jews.
Right.
They were given to Israel. They were the Jews were never in the picture.
That's right. Yeah, well, they're just the Jews.
That word didn't even exist in those days.
That's right.
It's diaspora from 1289, dispersion.
Okay.
That is, specifically and concretely, the converted Israelite residents in Gentile countries,
okay,
which are scattered abroad.
Very good. And that's,
well,
and now Gentile country, yeah. Well, they were not yet converted.
They were Israelites.
They were Israelites, but they had not yet been converted. The apostles were in the process of trying to convert them, so that's a bad definition, too.
This is the process that we're seeing in Galatians.
Right, right, yeah. So these are all the conclusions that these so-called Bible scholars jump to. But here, the fact is that the author of this article assumes that Gentile means non-Israelite. That's a terribly false assumption. Terribly false assumption. The word Gentile comes from the Greek ethnos, which means race, comma, nation. And Leroy just says, yeah, it also means dispersion. The G1290 dispersion. And Leroy, I got an assignment for you. Please look up ethnos, which is often translated from Gentile is all sometimes translated from ethnos, and I forget the number for ethnos, but
that means nation.
Yeah, so if you look up nation, it'll take you to the word ethnos in the Greek, and I'm curious to see what the Strong's, what the Esword definition is for that. But anyway, he says Peter is addressing exiled Israelite pilgrims that have taken up residence in other countries. That's what is the correct description here. Okay. When the KJV uses the term strangers scattered, it really doesn't give a full picture of what the verse is saying. Hence, many Christians gloss over it without giving it a second thought, in spite of the fact that it is a very profound statement. Peter is addressing a portion of the lost tribes of Israel in his salutation. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen twice.
The people that were scattered are all Israelite people. The Roman, the Zerach branch of Yehuda, the Galatians, Colossians, Philippians, they were all in dispersion, and a lot of them had adopted the Greek pantheon. And since Yeshua Messiah left the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kadosh behind as our comforter, they were under conviction to come back to the pure worship of Yahweh and leave those pagan gods that they were worshiping in the other countries. So he was the minister that went to those in foreign nations that were wishing to come back to Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Yeshua Messiah came. He released that Holy Spirit when he released his spirit, and it's working on all these people, and that's where all these converts came from. From the pure-blooded Israelites in dispersion in these foreign nations. Over to you, Eli.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no other people are being addressed by the scriptures, and no other people can possibly have anything to do with the covenants. Period. They have nothing to do.
Yeshua was our kinsman redeemer.
Yes.
And you can only redeem that which was once yours. These other people were never under any covenant with Yahweh. They are no part of any redemption.
Yes.
Now, if people would understand the English language, redemption and salvation are not the same thing. These non-Israelite people can be saved from destruction, if they acknowledge Yahweh as the Most High Elohim, but they are not part of the covenant, they will not enter New Jerusalem, they are not to be redeemed, they will not have eternal life, they will live out their lives on the earth, and they will breed, and they will do all those other things, their people will be saved, but it's only going to be a few of them, because they're not acknowledging Yahweh.
Right.
Because Yahweh is our God.
Yes.
They are doing the Judeo-Christian thing, which is another form of deception. When you do universalism like that, oh, we're all God's people. No, we're not.
Okay, by saved, you simply mean that their race will continue to exist, but they won't achieve resurrection bodies like the Israelites, like us Israelites.
Absolutely. Will. They will live normal human lives while we will be transformed into immortal beings.
Amen.
When he comes back, the dead will rise first, and all of those that have survived the tribulation, that have not lost faith,
and kept to the Yahweh's laws,
and those that do not keep the faith,
right,
will not get the prize.
Camp Char has just joined the chat. Let me go back to Leroy. He found G1484 ethnos, and the definition is probably from G1486, a race that is a tribe. Now, that is accurate. That is the definition of ethnos. Race, and Strong's has race, common nation. But then both of them have this addition, namely, specifically, a foreign or non-Jewish one. No, that's a Jewish addition to the definition. There's no way possible that the Greek word ethnos had meant anything non-Jewish. Jewish or non-Jewish, or anything to do with Jews, correct?
Oh, no, that's ethnos is like Gentile. It means non-Jew. That's the new definition they've tried to bring in.
That's right.
The same way they call us Goyim.
Right.
And they try to say that means non-Jew.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the Jews. This book has nothing to do with the Jews.
Yeah, Jews are non-Jews. Right?
It's
Israelites and heathen.
Are the fallen angels and the Nakash that seduced Eve and Cain and his seed and the Canaanites and the Edomites. They became what is known as Jews today. It is a manufactured word. In an attempt to steal our birthright, those of pure-blooded Judahites.
Yes.
And you cannot translate Judahite or Yahudi, which means Yahweh be praised, or those who praise Yahweh, because they don't praise Yahweh. They don't use the word. It's forbidden.
Right, they forbid the word.
With
yes.
Jews, there's no J in Hebrew anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and they try to change the name of Judah to Yehuda.
Right.
It is Yahuda. Yahweh
Yehuda.
Be praised.
Yahweh be
he
praised.
He was named that in Genesis.
That's right.
Yahweh be praised.
And the Jews Yahudim, don't praise Yahweh.
and Yahudim, when the plural
is the
means
plural.
Those who praise Yahweh.
Okay.
And that's us. We praise Yahweh.
Right.
We use the holy name. We do not follow the Talmud.
Mm-hmm.
We follow the scriptures given to us by Moshe and the prophets and the disciples of Christ in Berit Kadasha in the New Testament.
Yes. Okay, so let me continue here. Oof, great. I just lost the page. Let me try to find it again. Yes, okay. Where he continues, the Greek word translated strangers in the KJV is peripedemos, Strong's 3927, which means resident stranger or pilgrim or an alien alongside. Peter is addressing exiled Israelite pilgrims that have taken up residence alongside the Israelites in another country. See, he keeps on using this false term Gentiles, which confuses the issue. We're talking about Israelites in another country. In other words, Israelites in the Greco-Roman world. That's what the dispersion is, okay? And he continues, that's what 1 Peter 1:1 is saying. When the KJV uses the term stranger scattered, it really doesn't give a full picture, all right? Now, the people Peter is addressing are in a state of exile. They're in a state of Jezreel. They're located in Asia Minor, but who are they? Answer, the Galatians, the same group of people Paul wrote to. And he quotes 1 Peter 2:9. Why don't you turn there and read that for, let me read it first from his document here. 1 Peter 2:9 sheds more light on this. Quote, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, all Old Testament references to Israel, Exodus 19, 5-6, Deuteronomy 14:2, 26:18. Before you read your version, Pastor Steve, is it possible that a group of non-Israelites would have any, that Peter could be addressing a group of non-Israelites and tell them that they're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people? Would he defy Scripture by pronouncing these words to a non-Israelite group of people?
No, Paul had a problem with Peter, who would not associate with those who had not been physically circumcised, even though they were of Israel, right, and they were coming out of the pantheon of the pagan gods of other countries. Yes. They weren't called Greeks, they were called Hellenes, right, because they were under the Hellenic system of government. And he rebuked Peter for that because he said, these are your people, Israel.
Right.
They didn't know about the circumcision.
That's right.
They're coming over to Yahweh through Yeshua Messiah. Now listen to this translation of verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set apart nation, a people for a possession, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
They were the possession of Yahweh, the inheritance of Yahweh. All
Amen.
Through the Old Testament, he called Israel that. You are my people. You are my set apart people. You are my possession. And this reiterates that in the New Testament with Kepha writing this.
Right.
So he is telling these people that you are a chosen race because Paul got through to him and educated him to that fact and said, quit being so stuffy and worrying about circumcision.
Right.
When the law is written on their heart and their hearts are circumcised, they can get circumcised physically later.
Well,
but you got to
okay.
teach them all about Yeshua
yeah.
now.
Right.
Don't shut these people away. They're our people.
Yes, and isn't it also the case that Paul, a major portion of his ministry was actually to the house of Judah, to the circumcision. He refers to the house of Judah as the circumcision and the scattered dispersed people as the uncircumcision. But the problem that the circumcision, the house of Judah, had was they didn't want to accept the uncircumcision as being forgiven under the promises, the covenants given unto Abraham, which were not part of the Levitical code. Isn't that what Peter, what Paul was trying to explain to Peter?
Well, the Levitical code basically was done away with. That's the only part of the Torah that was done away with through fulfillment,
right,
instead of just casting it out. It is no longer necessary for all those blood sacrifices because the perfect Lamb of God was slain for our sins, and his blood permanently covers our sins. Where the blood of bulls and goats was a one-year put-off, and they had to do it each year.
Right.
And he eliminated that, and he also, if you'll read in Scripture, took the priesthood away from the men that were in the priesthood at the time, because they had become so infested and infiltrated with Edomites that they were doing Talmudism instead of the pure Mosheism worship of Yahweh. They were not following the scriptures. They were following the Talmud. And he rebuked them and reviled them and told them who they were in John. And he took the priesthood away from them and gave it to the order of Melchizedek, which is Melchizedek, king of righteousness. And who is the king of righteousness but Yeshua,
amen,
Messiah, our king of Israel.
Now,
not
despite
king of the Jews, king of Israel.
Amen. Now, despite the fact that, this Hope of Israel document is totally confused about the meaning of the word Gentile, and several other words, he actually assumes that Jews are Israelites as well. But he is correctly arguing here, and this is extremely rare, Pastor Steve, extremely rare for a Judeo-Christian commentator to actually recognize that this language is exclusive to Israelites and to no other people. So this guy is agreeing with our covenant theology, whether he realizes, he may or may not, it's definitely not identity, but he is arguing correctly here. He is absolutely correct in stating that both Peter and Paul are referring to Galatians as if they were Israelites. Is that not the case?
That is the case. None of us were identity at one time, and we wake up gradually, one by one, by twos, by one, by three.
Yeah, right.
And
certainly not by millions.
Now we are growing. We are the fastest growing religious assembly in the world right now, because our white brethren, by the bad actions of the enemy, the Edomite Jews, are waking up to who they are and who they are not. More importantly, they do not match any of the descriptions of Israel whatsoever. They have had none of the promises of Israel given to them. They do not fit any of the descriptions.
Right.
The kingdoms and the kings and the progeny of Israel, they are pretenders and deceivers like their father, the Nahash, that seduced Eve and produced Cain.
Amen.
Their father was a liar from the beginning, and their father's work they do.
Amen.
And they own the Talmud Vision and all the magazines, and they're working hard, pardon me,
okay,
on trying to control the internet. They're weaseling their way in and putting their hand-picked shills in among us, and people that claim to be CI and are not.
Yes.
And it says in Revelation, you claim to be of Yehuda, but you are not. You are of the synagogue of Satan.
Yep, there's a lot of those types of people around. Let's continue. Peter goes on to say in verse 10, which in time past were not a people, which he says, lo ami, but are now the people of God, ami, which had not obtained mercy in, of course, in times past, but now have obtained mercy. Well, what mercy is that? What could Peter possibly be talking about here, except the sacrifice on the cross and the forgiveness of our past sins and the redemption of our people? What else could he be talking about?
Right. Well, I'll tell you. Circumcision never got anybody into heaven.
That's right.
Because there's lots of circumcised people that in the judgment are going to become crispy critters.
That's right.
And those, if their heart is circumcised and they are coming back into the worship of Yahweh through the sacrifice of Yeshua Messiah, they are our Israelite brethren. And they are waking up to this fact. The disciples are. And all the disciples finally woke up
Yes.
Now our people gradually are waking up as to who we are and
yes.
who the enemy is.
Yes. Okay, I see
and
we
those
have...
those that claim to be something but are not are losing ground very rapidly.
Yes, I see we've had a bunch more people join in the chat. And let me just make an announcement really quickly again that Pastor Steve is on Eurofolk Radio only. We have been having trouble getting TalkShoe and Skype synchronized. So if you want to hear the entire discussion between myself and Pastor Steve, tune in to www.eurofolkradio.com and you can get the entire audio over there. But the chat room discussion will be held right here. Okay. So now let's get into the book of Galatians. That I think was a really good intro. Hope of Israel, one of the few Judeo-Christian commentators who actually perceives that the book of Galatians was written to Israelites and to no other people. And we'll find there's internal evidence in the book of Galatians to prove that point. So I'm going to start reading here, Pastor Steve. And if your translation is better or suggests suggests something that we should discuss, please feel free to quote your translation as well. But I'm going to start here, and this I'm reading, of course, from the King James Version. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me to the churches of Galatia. Now, verse 2 has two translational problems already. Number one, brethren is should be kindred. It's not brothers like the Freemason Brotherhood or the Brotherhood of Man and Fatherhood of God nonsense that's taught by the Universalists. The brethren comes from Adelphos, meaning from the same womb. So is this not word Adelphos telling us we're talking about direct descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the womb they are talking about is Sarah, and by virtue of the fact that Isaac was singled out and Ishmael and the sons of Keturah were also separated from Isaac, then we must count the womb of Rebekah and, of course, the four wives of Jacob Israel. And no other womb counts. Wouldn't that be correct?
Yes, these are racial kindred, like Aki in the Hebrew.
Okay.
Which means not only brother, it has a dual meaning, racial kindred. You use that as kindred. It is a dual use in the Hebrew. Well, they are trying to mirror the Hebrew in the Greek. So the brethren here would have the same connotation.
Yes.
That
as the Hebrew.
They had in the Old Testament, because these people were Israelite people, and he was probably speaking to them in Hebrew first, and then it was translated into Greek later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because Yeshua, Messiah, spoke Aramaic to the people of Israel, which is very, very similar, except for a few differences in pronunciations and minor differences in spelling.
Amen.
It is the same language.
And also,
so you have to think in the New Testament of what it would be in the Old Testament, because he is addressing Old Testament people.
Yes, yes.
These are Israelites.
So we have in verse 2 the first problematic word, which is, it's not a terrible translation, but it could be more specific by saying kindred. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. And then churches. Churches is another bad translation. It should be, ecclesia always means congregation, which is a congregation of Israelites, not a church like the Anglican Church or the Catholic Church or any other church for that matter. It's not a brick and mortar. It's not a a bureaucratic hierarchy of priests, bishops, popes, and that sort of nonsense. We're simply talking about a congregation of Israelites. Is that not the case?
That is absolutely correct. In my version, it says assemblies of Galatia.
Right,
where they
not
assembled
churches.
Together, because they didn't have big cathedrals. They were assemblies in homes.
They were homes, yes.
In somebody's barn.
Right.
They were assembling together to worship.
It's like our church today, right? We get
That's
together.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. Right. So we're just like these Galatians, aren't we?
Well, we're the early New Testament church.
Yes.
We are.
We're reproducing that struggle. Yes.
We're worshiping in the true manner that they did.
Yes.
And without all this fol-de-rol and rigmarole and fancy costumes that these modern churches have brought
yes,
in.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Sir.
Okay. So we can see if we pay attention to the true meanings of these words, it's very exclusive to Israel and no other people count. Not even the whites outside of Israel, because we have... We may still have a few pure white Hamites floating around the world somewhere, but we certainly have a lot of Japhethites. And we have a lot of other Shemites who are not Israelites as well, but they are still covered under the restoration of Adam. But the white tribes of Israel are the leaders in this war against the Jews and the Antichrist. So that...
Israel are Caucasians.
Right.
Okay, but not all Caucasians are Israel.
That's right. Okay, that's how we have to see it. Okay, we've had several people come in. Pastor Visser, Ed Clan of Chatton, Greg Howard, welcome all. Celtic Warriors, Adolf Hitler. Hey, Sieg Heil, Adolf has joined the group. Let me continue here.
It means hail victory.
Yes, hail victory. That's what that means. Yes. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from the Greek for divine? But God, El in Hebrew, God El the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, Yahshua Messiah, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, okay, according to the will of God our Father. So there's several things being stated here that he might deliver us, okay? There's a false teaching that comes from the mainstream churches that tells us once saved, always saved, and that we were all saved at the cross. And there's no doubt about it, we are all going to heaven because we are saved at the cross. If that's true, why does Paul use the word might or maybe? All right, you there?
Yeah, I'm let me read this.
Okay.
Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us out of this present wicked age.
Yes.
According to the desire of our Elohim and Father.
Okay. Now, what does that translation, your translation there?
This is the scriptures from the Scripture Research Institute.
Okay. And so they are trying to translate the...
They are in on Newport Avenue in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and they are in South Africa.
In South Africa. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so they're trying to do a truer translation than the King James, in other words.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
These guys have got it down.
All right. Very good. I had not heard of that
translation.
Okay. So let me, verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. Verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. Now, it's interesting that he would say this, that this means that the Galatians would have had to have known Scripture, because... this is the first time that these Galatians are hearing anything about the good news of the gospel. So what he's really saying here is that, well, you people have the scriptures, you know the scriptures. Why are you turning away from the scriptures? It's not like they had heard the New Testament yet. That's what I'm trying to say. Your comment.
Well, they had some deceivers, and that is part of the problem. And I will read this. I marvel that you are so readily turning away from him who called you in the favor of Messiah to a different good news. And it references 2 Corinthians 11:4, which said, "For indeed, if he who is coming proclaims another Yeshua,
right,
whom we have not proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different good news which you have not accepted, you put up with it well enough."
Well, it's the good news that was prophesied in the Old Testament coming from Father Yahweh. Okay? So this applies even to modern Christians who call themselves New Testament Christians who reject the Old Testament. Well, how can you reject the Old Testament? Because Yeshua was prophesied in the Old Testament to be the son of Yahweh.
Well,
so how in the world can you reject Yahweh?
They're the same people that build a skyscraper and just start laying bricks on the ground. And don't bother to dig a foundation and pour a foundation.
Right.
You can't understand the New Testament or the New Covenant without the foundation for it, which is the Old Covenant. And all that Yeshua did was preach the Old Covenant.
That's
kingdom
right.
Kingdom theology. He did
Amen.
Not preach personal salvation, running up to an altar and making a show in front of people. He taught kingdom theology and the national redemption
Amen.
Of Israel. Now,
That's
your
right.
relationship one-on-one with him is very important, and you have to accomplish that. That is a personal thing between you and he. It's not to be a public spectacle. All of us need to study the scripture in order to fit our lifestyle to the scripture and not do what they have done in the past and modify the scripture to suit their agenda
mm-hmm.
or their current lifestyle.
Right.
Scripture rules and we do not. And we
yes.
need to leave, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing and putting it back to the original text, because it's been so tampered with. And that's why I like this translation here, because they are extremely accurate.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds really good. So, okay. I see how we had a troll just come and go real quick. let me continue here. I see that we're almost out of time. We only have 10 minutes left to go. And we've just barely scratched the surface here, but this is going to be a multi-part series on the book of Galatians. And let me pick it up from verse 8, which I think you read from that translation. But though
no,
we...
No, I read verse 6.
So verse 6?
Verse 7 is next. You need to read
okay.
verse 7.
All right, which is not... So you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel or a different gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And you talked about those people already, namely Jews in the midst of
That's
Judahites.
Correct.
Jews in the midst of Judahites. Verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. What Paul was teaching was the promised Messiah from the Old Testament. That's why he's referring to Yeshua as the Son of the Father.
That is correct.
Okay. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed. All right, a curse upon any Judaizer. Verse 10, Universalist. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? You, obviously, you don't have to persuade Yahweh. Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christos or Yahshua.
Messiah. The anointed one.
Yes. Verse 11, but I certify you, Adelphos, from the same womb, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. Isn't he referencing here the traditions of men, of the Pharisees, which Yahshua thoroughly condemned in several places?
That's right, the traditions of the elders from the Babylonian Talmud, which had created Judaism.
Amen. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Yahshua Christos, Yahshua Messiah. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now, the Jews' religion here can only be Talmudism, Pharisaism, because he was a Pharisee.
Okay, in my scripture it says, for you have heard of my former way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the assembly of Elohim and ravaged it.
Yes.
They call it Judaism here.
Well, those translators may not be aware of the fact that Judah is different from Judean, okay, or different from Jew.
Right.
Okay, so that's probably why
they've attached that name to it, no matter how falsely.
Yeah. Okay. So because everyone has to know there's a difference between a Judahite and an Edomite, and half the residents of Judea at that time were Edomites, not Judahites. And it was the Edomites who invented the religion we know today as Judaism, not the Judahites, okay? And because there's so much confusion, people still believe that the Jews are the Israelites of the Old Testament. They confuse Judah with the Jews, and that's a big mistake. But let me continue, and we only have about 6 minutes left. And profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers, who were Pharisees or Pharisee believers as well. Now, it bears saying here that there are a lot of Judahites that were followers of the Pharisees. And these Judahites did not realize that the Pharisees were empowered by Herod the Edomite and were teaching absolutely false doctrine.
Yeah, just like they are today. The Judeo-Christians believe that the Jews are God's chosen people. But it says here, I progressed in Judaism beyond many of my age in my race. And that race is Israel.
Amen. So and that's good. That's where it should state race. Is it tradition? Where here it says the traditions of my fathers, but in your version it says race, and it's really gratifying.
Many of my age in my race, being more exceedingly ardent for the traditions of my forefathers.
Okay, yeah, and this in verse 14, where the King James never translates ethnos as race, comma, nation. Here it translates it as nation, but not race. It never translates it as race, even though that's the first word in the definition. Now, isn't that strange? Now, usually when you have a definition of a word or a synonym, then the most common synonym is the one you should use, right? And that's race.
Yep.
It should use race. And so thank you for that, because I know the Farrar Fenton and the Jerusalem Bible also use the term race, where ethnos appears in the Greek. All right, very good. All right, I think we only have time for a couple more verses here. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Bad, 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 bad translation. Bad. Isn't that the same word, ethnos?
That is correct, the nations.
All right. Among the race. What does your translation say?
They have corrected it. I wrote them and told them about the word Gentile.
Uh-huh.
And they removed it in the new version, and
okay.
It says nations.
Okay.
Reach the good news to the nations, those that were Israelites in dispersion.
Okay. But in verse 14, they use the word race for ethnos, which is correct. What word did he use in verse 16?
Nations.
Okay. That's better. It's better than heathen, because heathen implies non-Israelites. This is a deliberate attempt by the KJV translators to universalize the text. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. It should say race would even be...
better. That'd be best.
Better, specifically a tribe.
Mm-hmm. Among the race of Israel. So we've been showing that Paul is addressing Israelites exclusively, so that the best translation of verse 16 would be this: to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the race of Israel. Immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood. What does your translation say?
I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I agree with that so much, I'm going to white out the word nations and put race in there.
Yes.
Because I am a stickler for accuracy.
Yes.
I can't stand butchered translations.
Yes. So the proper word there is race in English, because that's what the definition of ethnos is, even in the Strong's Concordance.
Yep.
So if why don't the KJV translators ever use the word race?
They have an agenda.
That's right.
They've been bought and paid for.
Amen. Amen.
Like those on the Talmud Vision today, why don't their news reporters report the news instead of telling you what the news might be?
Yes.
Because they're owned.
Right. And then he quickly just recounts what happened to him in Damascus. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus, which was not that far away from Palestine. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. But other of the apostles I saw none, save James, the Lord's brother. So he had a chance to discuss things with James and Peter, and we'll have to drop it there. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for being my co-host this evening on Yahweh's Covenant People. This has been part one of the book of Galatians, and we're going to do, as you can see, folks, we're going to do a very thorough analysis of the language of the book of Galatians, and an analysis which is exclusive to the covenant people, Israel. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.